Welcome to Heathen in the Hedge. This is a podcast about marriage, magic, and beyond. I'm Shay.
My name is Merlin. And today, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Manson family.
So today's Freaky Friday is going to, you know, cover a cult subject.
Yeah.
And we are going to dive into a little bit of Charles Manson and the whole entire shenanigans which he created with his group.
Yeah, we like a couple weeks ago, we did like a survey, and cults were one of the topics that you guys wanted to talk about, and
we decided to start here.
There really isn't a more fun cult than the Manson family, in my opinion.
Not only is it fun, but it's one of the most controversial. I mean,
totally, because there is
a ton of people have a lot of different opinions about this.
Yeah, from like the reasons that, you know, the terrible things that they committed happened, down to like even like you look at like some of the earlier days of the Manson family, and Charles Manson actually had some pretty solid ideas as far as, you know, an ideal, wholesome, everybody love everybody society, but
right.
We're not going to talk about the good stuff.
Right. But down to exactly what, you know, many people question is the driving force, you know, whether it was sex, whether it was money, whether it was promises of fame and fortune,
yeah,
or whether it was just the fact that they actually were bloodthirsty or in love with him. We don't know, but
there's a lot of questions.
A lot of speculations as to how and why, and you know, all of those things are going to be talked about today in our theories. So let's buckle up for another Freaky Friday.
The first, not really question, but like I did research on half of this, and then the rest of it's going to be opinion. So what is the Manson, or what was the Manson family? I guess you could say what is, because he does still have some followers, like
right.
4 years, 5 years after his death.
So what is the Manson family? Are we just going off of the information, like, of exactly what it was?
Sure, we can go off of pretty much
it's just, you know, it was like a intentional, like, cult community type of thing. Like a communal living, almost, that was ran by Charles Manson in the early 70s.
Yeah, basically, in 1967, Charles Manson got out of prison for, I think he had killed somebody,
mm-hmm.
but it was, I should have written this down, but I want to say it was some sort of like self-defense sort of situation, but he did shoot a person and kill them.
But he got out.
And went to prison. He got out in 1967, right in the prime of the hippie generation,
right.
Because like Vietnam
this is when
was going,
all of that was
yes.
really going down. When we were like
flower
in the,
power, the
in
hippie
the
movement
of, you know, the real, you know, everybody love everybody movement.
Yeah, and he basically was a very like charismatic, like likable guy.
Which
and,
sounds like every other serial killer we've ever thought about.
And he basically like got this like group of people together in like the early 60s, late 70s. There was about 100 members of the Manson family, but most of them were younger women from middle and lower class backgrounds.
Right. And I know that like in general, his game was to, you know, prey on the vulnerable and the weak, you
uh-huh.
know, find those people that were, you know, just separated from their families or,
yeah.
you know, were homeless or were looking for a place to belong, and really making them feel, you know, like a part of his community and really making them feel loved. And especially for a lot of those people who were coming from backgrounds where they didn't really know what love was, I think that was a very big,
for sure,
a very big draw for a lot of his followers, especially because they were female.
For sure, yeah. There was, that was when I was looking up, because it was, there's so much, it's so hard to do any research on Charles Manson, because even none of his followers' stories are all the same. It's almost
right.
like they were, it's almost like they're intentionally confusing
they're
so that you don't
in.
Know what the hell Charles Manson is about.
It's
but,
like they're all in their own, like, dimension or something, like, coming
yes.
up with, like, all these different stories that don't really line up.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder,
but
you did kind of see that they... He had individual relationships with all of them.
For sure. According to group member Susan Adkins, members of the Manson family were convinced that Charles Manson was a manifestation of Jesus Christ and believed that his prophecies of a post-apocalyptic race war, where on the other end of the war, he was basically going to, like, present himself to mankind after everything had went to shit and, you know, bring black and white people together. And, yeah, that was like his...
This whole Messiah
That thing. Was his whole, like, Messiah complex. And
why does every single one of the terrible cults have something to do with this...
Like, they think they're God?
Yes, this non-believable story that literally would... Like, if any other person said that, you'd be like, that's ridiculous. But why is it that it's always like, I am... a messenger of Jesus, or I am Jesus himself, or
he thought he was Jesus himself.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Like, why is it always one of those? And why is it always that the followers are that devoted that you literally, you disregard all common sense?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of confused by that, but.
And one of the ways that he thought he could spur it, because it wasn't just a racial thing, like, he wasn't bringing the races together, he was bringing, like, all the classes together, and he mm-hmm. thought... a way to, like, start this, like, racial and class war was to, like, start killing, like, people that were up higher in the communities, like celebrities and rich people. And in 1969, he basically got three of his followers. I mean, this isn't the only one that he's known for, but this is, like, the big one, because I think her name was Shannon Tate. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. They broke into her house, Sharon Tate. They broke into her house. She was an actress. They broke into her house. They tied her up and they just slaughtered her and like four other people that were at the house. I don't know what was going on, but.
Probably was just having a little.
Party. Yeah. But yeah, they broke in and slaughtered everybody.
Yeah.
And yeah, they thought that killing the elite was going to be the best way to like. Start this huge war that was basically going to wipe out like a shit ton of like everybody. And then whenever everything, the dust settles, here comes the new Jesus, AKA Uncle Charlie. And he's going to make everything better. He's going to make, he called, his nickname for black people was Old Blackie or Blackies. Like he did say some like racist things, even though it was like his idea was like to bring the races together. He was a very oxymoron, like batshit crazy dude.
Yeah. I mean, literally. I mean, that's what really mind boggles me through this entire thing is that this, I mean, you look at this guy and
yeah.
he literally looks like a fucking nutcase and you think that he's Jesus.
Yeah.
That he's really going to come up with some magical answer to our world's problems. Like, he looks like he's already spinning. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, he was intelligent in some ways, but look at it. I mean, the guy was on some kind of a whole nother trip, man.
Well, I mean, that leads into our next, I guess, topic, which would be why were people drawn to Charles Manson? And from all of the research...
You know
that I did.
Wait,
basically,
before you do the research answer, I want to give my opinion on.
Yeah, it. Yeah. Well, I mean, mine's just an opinion too, because that's another thing. Like, it's nonsensical and weird. But yeah, go ahead.
I feel like it has to do with the. Oh God, the intoxication of the surreal. You know, mm-hmm. like he. Was giving them and promising them all these things that they had like never even fathomed or experienced or even thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's just a part of the appeal. Maybe just really spoke to their desires. I don't know, but it's just stupid mm-hmm. to me that anything, the amount of anything being promised could make you want to do something like what you've done.
Well, I mean, you're 100% right from everything that from like, all of the testimonies of like former family members, cult members or yeah. Manson family members. I mean, they basically, well, I mean, to start it out, you got to like set up the setting. Like we're in it start. He like, he's in like 1960. What did I say? 1967 was when he got out of prison. And The Vietnam War had been going on since 1955. It doesn't end until 1975. So you're like balls deep in the Vietnam War. There's all kinds of like political stuff going on. There's like social rights issues happening as far as like African American rights and gay rights and like
women's rights,
women's rights,
all of it's happening at one time.
And you've got all of these young people that don't know what the fuck they're gonna do with their lives, because they're basically thinking they're on the verge of like this world war, which they weren't wrong. I mean, Vietnam is hands down one of the worst campaigns that America has ever taken part in. And so I mean, you got these young people, and you've got this like charismatic, likable old hippie who is like, "Hey, like, come live with me. I'll make everything better. I've got all the
I'm
answers for
bringing
you."
peace.
And yeah, I'm bringing peace. Like, I'm gonna
I'm
bring the
bringing
races
peace. I'm bringing
together.
love. I'm bringing shelter. I'm bringing
Yeah.
community, man.
When this war is
All the things
over,
that we're missing.
I'm gonna fix everything,
Yeah.
man.
So
Like,
pretty much just speaking to what they were, really needing at the time.
yeah, and he at first he did have like a lot of the answers to the problems, because there was like, a property that they lived on. Everybody was living free. He gave them all the drugs that they wanted. Like, it
But
was
why
a.
is every single time, though, that always turns into something bad?
Yeah.
You can never have a commune that doesn't turn into something bad at the end.
Never, never. And,
It always has to turn out to something weird.
yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying every commune, like, in the world has turned out to be weird, but I'm saying that most communes turn into, like, it is a cult. It is not a
No, almost.
community, it turns into a cult.
It's pretty
Like, someone
consistent.
decides to be in charge. Everyone starts worshiping that person
Yeah.
because they're like, bringing everyone their peace and love and organization and harmony and
So
peace.
basically, what
It's
he saw
weird.
was like, there's this broken world
Right.
that's spitting out all of these broken children.
Yeah.
I'm gonna scoop them up, and I'm gonna make them my, like, they're gonna be my henchmen,
Ugh. Yeah.
or
Wow.
my freedom fighters, is
I'll tell you
what he
what.
saw it as.
Yeah,
Yeah.
right.
Or what he said he saw it as. That's also going to lead into our next one. Was like, what were the reasons for getting his followers to murder people and all of that? And like, we've already talked about the one that it was going to be like the he wanted to spur a post-apoc or like an apocalyptic race war that was going to wipe out like 90% of humanity. But there's also something that goes back before he was the hippie cult leader guru. And that was, he was like a singer-songwriter that was like rejected by
Almost
like
forgot about that
the
tidbit.
music industry.
Right.
And there's some people that believe that even though Charlie was like getting all of these like young people to go do this supposed freedom fighting and killing all the rich people and blah blah blah, that maybe Charlie was just fucking pissed off at like Hollywood, like the Hollywood execs and like the music industry, and was like, okay, I'm just gonna fucking start killing Hollywood people because they wouldn't let me be a part of their game.
I mean, I think that
I think
could,
it's
I think it could be partially all of those things. Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it wasn't just the fact that they didn't really like allow him to succeed in that culture, but I mean, he was humiliated.
Yeah.
He
Yeah, he
was
was.
embarrassed, and on top of that, he had this whole following behind him,
Oh, yeah.
and these people were seeing that
They thought he was
the
God.
elite didn't think he was very cool.
Yeah.
And that stunts his,
Yeah.
his whole charade. So I couldn't imagine that that was going to really go over well in his egotistical, whole lineup. I mean,
Yeah.
most people that put themselves on a pedestal don't necessarily like rejection.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. That would. I think it was a little bit of both.
I think it was
I think
definitely
he
both.
did
Yeah. I think
genuinely
it was
think
like
he
a
was
part of
like,
spinning it into the web
for sure.
of things that could connect.
He thought he was God, but he was also humiliated. So he was going to use his
He's gonna punish people.
godly power to
Oh,
punish the elite. And
yeah.
that's, yeah. And,
Which I guess if you think about it in
yeah.
that way, why is it that everything has to spin into like this whole thing where it's like a whole group of people have to like fall into the punishments, right? It's like kind of like how I was saying to you earlier. You see one person and think the entire group is bad. So like one celebrity has screwed you and now all celebrities are the worst.
I can't pronounce their last names, but there's a Patricia chick and a Tex Watson. that did most of the like the hard crimes. I mean, they did other stuff. I mean, they were
Right.
doing like petty, like the whole Manson family was doing like, assaults and petty crimes and like carjackings and theft and all kinds of stuff to like basically fund like the Manson family ranch.
Right.
But like the ones that were doing like the brutal crimes, like murdering people, was this Patricia chick and the Tex Watson guy. And there was a Linda girl too, but she just like was like a stand-in. She was like just there for a couple of them, but she supposedly didn't kill anybody.
I see.
But whenever they finally like took everybody to trial, like Charlie and Tex and Patricia, they all got like death sentences that later on turned into life sentences because California outlawed like capital punishment. And the Linda chick, she basically just went on and lived a like a normal life. But yeah, like talking about like roping people into your bullshit, like that's one of the big controversies of the Manson family is like, do his followers that he brainwashed like deserve to be punished at the same level that he was, even though Charlie himself really didn't kill anybody. He didn't lay his hands on anybody except for, I think, tying up the actress that they killed and then leaving and was like, okay, now you can kill him. But what do you think of that? Because that is like a big thing. Like some people think that they shouldn't have been given life sentences like he was, and then
Oh boy, you
he,
know, I think in some, like, to be honest, I think in some ways the fact that he was able to manipulate them, I mean, they're held responsible, you know? Like,
they
I mean, I don't think that if anyone held point, like, I don't even think if someone held a gun to my head, I could just kill someone on demand. You know what I mean?
No,
Like,
I don't think I could
I
either.
don't think I could do it. And so, yeah, they definitely deserve to be punished. Just at the same extent. I mean, they did the crime.
I do. I agree
And
too.
honestly, what's really ironic, to be honest with you, is kind of funny. I think definitely, okay, sure. Charlie definitely deserves to be in jail because he is a criminal mastermind, but he didn't necessarily commit the crime.
No.
So, I mean, in most ways, really, is he even really responsible?
He rode that train
Okay,
till a
he's
day.
responsible, but you know, he's I feel like in some ways a lot of people like look at him as like he's the monster, but we're missing the point that really there were a lot of other people in play here that were
Totally.
totally okay with killing people.
And we were talking about this earlier, but like
Yeah.
I've always had like a weird fascination with Charles Manson. Like I don't think anything that he did was right, but he was a brilliant person and a very
I mean, it
charismatic
does take a
person,
lot of
like
brain power to convince people that like you are
God.
like a completely
Yeah.
of out of this world entity.
Like,
I
but
mean, that's takes some skill.
one of my favorite quotes of his, one of, because there's a bunch of them. He said a lot of brilliant shit for being a batshit crazy dude.
Yeah.
But one of I don't know if it was a victim of somebody or like a family member of a victim, but somebody basically like, why would you take these kids and turn them into monsters? And Charles Manson was like, I didn't turn your children into monsters. You did. I just taught them how to stand up for themselves. Like that
Yeah.
kind of mindset. Like
Yeah.
even when he was like locked up, like he was still in the mindset, like I'm not a monster. I just set these people free, and I'm here to set all of you free by basically, it's kind of a do what thou will mindset, but
Right.
like extremist.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I feel like there's the whole entire thing is tricky, you know? I feel like in some ways, yes, those people were victims. But like I said, I feel like in any situation, like it's not like he was standing there with a gun to their head saying, you kill them or I'm gonna kill you. It was like
No.
he literally was just like, yo, go in there and do your thing. They could have made a choice not to do that.
Yeah.
I just don't think that it was really like I feel like he was more like testing their limits to see like how far they would go. And they didn't really I just don't know if that was really like the outcome of which like had to have happened.
Do you,
But either way, they're all responsible.
what do you think about like the remorse of like those fan like the like especially like Tex and Patricia, the main ones that were doing the killings? They have They have like admitted to like being remorseful after they've gotten away from Charlie and kind of, you know, started thinking for themselves again in the last like 45, 50 years, especially Patricia, because she actually runs like women's programs from inside of the prison, like basically showing women how to like, you know, stand up for themselves in a healthy way, like that sort of thing. And she's, you know, tries to help people rehabilitate within prison, even though she's going to be there till the day she dies. And I don't know a whole lot about the Tex guy. I didn't get a chance to like look too much up on him, but the Patricia lady was pretty interesting as far as like, yeah, like she, for a long time in prison, she did still like stand up for Charlie and like say, you know, like he is God, like he's gonna make everything better. But like as time went on,
Ooh,
she
we realized
finally
that that was
started
not gonna
like, oh
happen.
shit, maybe this isn't like, maybe he's not gonna make everything better because like
No,
I'm
no.
still in prison. None of
Yeah,
this
you're
race.
still in prison. There's still a race riot,
But prison
and it's
initially
not
broke her,
going the
and then
way you
she
thought
was
it was
like,
going.
you know, started feeling remorse for the murders because she thought that, you know, she was doing the work of God and blah blah blah. So in a way, even though they murdered people, you kind of feel sorry for them a little bit,
I
but
mean, I do feel sorry for them. I feel sorry that they got completely bamboozled,
for sure,
but not sorry that they decided to fucking kill
I
people.
do believe they are being rightfully punished for the crimes that they
Right?
committed.
Like, you should feel sorry for yourself because that was
Yes.
ridiculous what you did.
Yes.
However, you know, yeah, like, I mean, it is hard. It is hard to go forward when you have this feeling of. I mean, we've all been a victim of something. So, I mean, just knowing that moving from that situation, not knowing where to go, not knowing how you're going to survive, I can understand, you know, feeling like you're put in such an extreme situation, but
For sure.
I just don't justify being able to take life
No, it's.
and not have like any repercussion for it.
No, it's not justifiable at all. But I think part of my, like, slight empathy that comes from it is, like, being raised in a cult myself. Like, you can. I can see how people can get wrapped up into that and just think that, you know, there's no way out of it. Like the idea of being outside of the cult is like almost crippling. Like it took me years, like years, probably into my like mid-20s before I finally like completely snapped out of my cult mindset, being raised as a Jehovah's Witness, as we've talked about before. Like that is, I don't care what anybody says, it's as big of a cult as any cult that's ever existed, possibly bigger, because it has allowed to continue as like
Like
into the
as a
modern world.
completely okay
Yeah.
organization. Like it's wild.
But yeah, they make you believe that life outside of the Kingdom Hall, or, you know, the Fellowship of Jehovah's Witnesses, is there's nothing outside of it. There's nothing but the devil and the devil's works outside of it. And if you leave, then you're as good as dead, and your family can't talk to you, and nobody that you ever like, everybody that you ever loved will never talk to you again. Like you're dead to your family and your friends, and it's completely crippling, the idea of leaving that, but it is possible.
I mean, I know that that can take a toll, like as you and your family have kind of like shared, and it's really difficult to think about. However, you know,
But it doesn't justify killing
right,
people.
it's such an extreme that they have gone to. So yeah, you know, I do feel a little bad for them, but also feel that they are being justifiably served as given what they've done. And same for good old Charlie, you know what I mean? Like that dude is a whole nother level of dark. And I don't
Well, he's
think,
dead now. He
well,
died.
you know, that's what I'm saying. Like I'm saying like he was, you know, the whole entire mindset that he brought was just such a, you know, messiah complex to the extreme.
It
And
was.
it's crazy that he went out thinking like how sly he must have been,
Well,
even though he was in jail.
till the day he died in 2017. I mean, the crimes happened in, let's see, what, 1969? Till the day he died in 2017, he still believed. that he was the victim of, you know, modern society, and that, you know, he was, you know, a messiah, like he was Jesus Christ incarnate, and, you know, it, I mean, it's crazy, like, because he truly believed the stuff, like, he, yeah. It wasn't like he was, I mean, in some ways, you've got the whole, you know, failed music career, and he may have just been duping the kids to do his dirty deeds, but I don't think somebody that was just doing it out of spite,
I mean, he probably lost his mind,
would hold on to that for as long as he did, and yeah, it's crazy. What
I think what's even crazier
cults can do to people.
No, I think it's what's even crazier is the people like writing him in jail and
oh man, there's people. Oh my talking, god,
like,
yeah,
when he was in jail, you know,
like trying just, to marry him. Yeah, and,
like,
yeah.
Like, what is wrong with your mindset that you would be okay with like trying to connect yourself to such a person who is literally okay with brainwashing other people?
I would have liked to have had a conversation with him. I bet that would have
I mean, been. Sure. I'm sure it would be very intriguing to hear the kind of thoughts that he had going on in his brain. But at the same time, it also sounds like it could be some chaos.
Yeah, for sure.
Like some craziness.
He's got some Loki energy.
Oh, yeah. Like, all wrapped up in his ideas.
This was just a... kind of just a fun episode, mm-hmm. as fun as cults and serial killing can be, I suppose. But like, I guess where we're going to wrap it up is like, how to avoid a cult. Like, are you in a cult? Like,
well, we want to share quickly, like, just
signs how, to look for, I guess.
Right. Like, so we were almost recruited to
oh,
a
yeah,
cult
yeah,
right
yeah.
when we moved here to
I'm
Colorado
glad you
Springs,
brought that up.
And I thought that was kind of like, such a hilarious thing to throw into this episode because it's a great way to look out for the signs, right? Like the things that don't add up, you guys. That even if it seems subtle, just follow your gut. So like, I mean, we were out on just like a family Sunday doing like a little hike at Garden of the Gods. I believe that may have been the day that we were taking like family pics or something, but we were there doing like something cute, right?
Mm-hmm.
Took a little hike. And then as we were walking down, we ran into this couple and they had a dog. So of course our, you know, 5-year-old at the time. Yeah. You know, she was very excited and she just ran over to them and was just like, oh my gosh, your doggy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, wanted to pet the dog and wanted to just chit chat. So of course we were like very, like, we were trying to be polite and we asked them if it was okay if she like pet the dog and they were like, yeah, of course. So she was petting the dog for a minute. And then we started chatting with this couple. We're like, oh, you know, like, haha, dogs and kids. It's just so cute. Like they're always like so attracted to each other, blah, blah, blah. So we're just having like this conversation, right?
Yeah. And they seemed like a nice
they
couple.
Seemed pretty normal. It didn't
Fairly
seem
normal.
Out of the question, like that they were just there with their dog having a little Sunday hike. They told us that they were, but they were there like, you know, from Hawaii and that they had moved to there like 2 years prior and that she used to do something with like dental hygienist.
Yes.
She was a dental hygienist and he was in the military and, which is not uncommon for Colorado. So anyway, so they all come, you know, they were there for that reason because of his military status. They moved to Colorado from Hawaii, but I believe if I'm not mistaken, I feel like she said that they were natives of Hawaii originally or
yes.
something like that. Like they both were natives of Hawaii and then moved to Colorado
yes.
like because of the military. And then, you know, ended up just kind of like getting caught up in like the scene there and
mm-hmm.
really like trying to work on like their business models and him realizing that, you know, he didn't want to work for the military forever and she didn't really want to do like dental hygienist.
Yeah, because I don't think he was in the military. I think he worked on one of the bases.
Yeah, something like
that. Like it wasn't, I don't think he was in the military from what I talked to him a little bit about, but he did work on one of the bases
or something like,
or
some, like
it was
no,
something
no,
like
he
could have been
was
in, the
in the military. I remember her saying that specifically, but,
okay,
but I just don't remember why they like what he was doing exactly. It was something that like he was leaving the military soon and was looking for a job doing
that
other
that may be what it,
yeah I think that's what you're thinking and that's why they were talking about like doing work for themselves because they wanted to like be their own boss and they wanted to like retire early and so then
be financially independent
right. And that's when they started to like recruit, sort of. Like, so this is where it kind of got weird. As we were chatting with them, right, they started telling us more about what they did, blah, 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 blah. And then it was like all of a sudden she was like, well, what do you do? Like, what do you all do? And we were like, okay, you know, he does this, I do that. And she was like, oh, well, you know, it sounds like you all are pretty flexible, you know, that you're looking for a possible way to like retire early and, you know,
Be
like,
financially
right,
independent.
be financially independent
I'm
and
doing
like
that for a
live your,
reason.
right, and like live your life, you know what I mean? Like on your own and that kind of stuff. And she's like, my mentor, quote unquote, like with the air quotations, like my mentor, like our mentor is like amazing at helping us like with this plan that we're on. We're so close to like being able to retire
And be
early
financially
and
independent.
blah 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 blah. I mean, like, so we were kind of like, yeah, like that's cool, but it didn't, they didn't lay it on as thickly as it sounds right now. Like it was really just more like my mentor this, and we
Well,
are, you know, looking at retiring early, and we're looking for people who are definitely like into being like independent and that kind of
yes.
thing. So they made it seem a little bit less, you know, daunting as
Weird.
that, right? It seemed way more like, yeah, like this is what we do and it's kind of cool, like you could do it too if you're interested. And we were kind of like, okay, like we could be,
Yeah.
right? So I asked her, well, let me like add you on Facebook or something. Do you have Facebook? Because you know, these days and ages, people don't really ask for like a phone number anymore. When you meet someone, first off, you usually just ask for their social media because you don't really want to just give someone your personal phone number. I know that's how I am.
Yeah.
I only give you my personal phone number if I really like you or if I really know you. Like, I have to get to know you for like a good minute before I give you my personal phone number, unless it's like a business transaction. So I was like, okay, like you don't have, so she was like, I don't have social media really, or I don't really use
Yeah.
social media like that, but I can give you my number. And I was like, okay. And at the time, you know, it didn't seem that strange. So I said,
No.
okay, you know, why not? So I gave her my number. First red flag, okay, because I don't do this. And I just knew I shouldn't have, but I was like, okay, why not? So I give her my phone number, and then she tells me, okay, like I'll be in touch to kind of like, you know, talk to you and set up like a meeting. And I was kind of like, okay. And so we leave, right? We get home. The next day, she texts me, and it's like very professional sounding, like, hi, Shay. I was just wanting to get in touch with you to set up our meeting. What is a good time for you to have a Zoom chat? And I'm thinking, like, I thought we were gonna just like text each other and like
Have a
get to know
coffee
each
date or
other, right?
something,
Like
yeah.
normal people do. Like, hey, how are you? Like, how was your day? Like, haha, fuck that job and
Well,
like fuck these kids, that
she
kind
was
of
trying to
thing. And
set
she was
up
like,
a web
no,
chat
like,
with her mentor, like right then and
yeah,
there.
she was like, well, I know I told you about my mentor and I wanted to get you to talk with them, but first we need to have like a serious chat like on Zoom because I want to make sure that like you're gonna be the right kind of person
And
to
keeping.
pass along to my mentor. And we were kind of like, and my brain started going, okay, red flag number
Yes,
two,
it's.
red flag number two, this is getting weird.
This conversation is when it clicked because I'll talk about the first two things is there's always this secret mentor. There's
Right?
always like this, like
Secret person you need to like talk with.
the Jehovah's Witness is it's the elders. Like that's how you're presented. Like we'll have a meeting with our elders. And there's also like a lot of like repetitive phrases
Yeah, which
that
they
they
did do
use,
a
which
lot
are
of.
like, that's why I kept doing the become financially independent because they kept saying
They
that,
literally
like,
just kept saying, like,
retire early, become financially
yeah,
independent.
retiring
Retire early,
early,
become
be
financially
financially
independent.
independent.
Retire early, become financially independent.
They would
Like,
say that constantly, like in almost every single like phrase of like when they talked about what they did or like trying to make it sound enticing.
so around after that phone call that you had, like,
I was
that's whenever
literally,
it clicked, like, this is culty as
well,
fuck.
I'm the one that was kind of like, no, that was weird, you know,
Yeah.
like that seemed kind of off. And he was like, yeah, that definitely does sound kind of strange. And I was like, well, I want to go to this Zoom anyway, just because I'm curious as to what it is that they want
Oh,
to
and
talk
keep in
about.
mind, I also, after this, I looked her name up on Facebook, and she
She
does
does have a
have a
Facebook,
Facebook
right?
profile.
No, like she definitely didn't say she didn't have social. She just said that she didn't use social media very
Oh,
often. And when I looked at it, it definitely looked like one of those pages that wasn't used very often.
yeah. we're friends.
So how they got you in there pretty much was like, she was like, you know, we're not asking you for any money. We're not asking for really any commitment. We just want you to like come to this Zoom meeting. So mm-hmm. we set this Zoom meeting up. And I, like, on the day of, completely forget, because that's literally the kind of person I am. Like, I sometimes have, like, three things going on, so I'll always forget at least one of them. And that day, I forgot about the meeting, and I was like, oh, crap. So I literally called her, like, 30 minutes after it was supposed to happen, and she was just like, you know, oh, you know, I thought that, like, you were committed. And I was just like, I'm sorry, I just forgot. Like, yeah. I didn't think that this was such a big deal. You know, I wasn't.
We saw you at the park.
Right. I didn't realize that I had committed to anything, really. And what? So she was just kind of like, well, if I set up another meeting, do you promise to show up? And I was kind of like, I mean, yeah, sure. Like, I don't really understand what it is that I'm committing to. So after that was when we were kind of like, you know, this is a little fishy. Like, yeah. this is weird. Like, yeah, this is not just like a friend trying to get to know
No, yeah. It was.
It started going like, okay, this is the red flag number three.
Yes.
Red flag number three.
And this was whenever I decided to get online and like, because I noticed, having been raised in a cult and like how to look for like the red flags of culty behavior, like repeating phrases and like, mostly repeating, these secret elders, mentors. Mm-hmm. That you can't know anything about until like you meet them. Like right. it's always
you're, like, really committed.
It's always like hyper like secretive. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I like started like
we started googling like those I basically phrases, right?
Yes, I googled the because I knew it was culty. So I was like, what is a cult that uses the phrase retire early, become financially independent? And bam, as soon as I like clicked enter on Google, like five or six Reddit feeds like came up of like, oh my god, I think I'm in a cult, like right. blah blah blah, like I think I'm in like a religious financial cult. And
yeah, because it was like a particular one that popped up that was like for the Colorado Springs area.
Yes.
And this lady was talking about how like, or no, sorry, her husband was talking about how his wife had become involved with this.
Yeah, into like, their marriage. It was crazy, yeah.
This religious financial cult where yeah. she, like, started working for them and making all this money. And then it turned from, like, her just making money to, like, her, like, never...
she was never around?
Yeah, she, like, never was, like, home. She never had time to, like, really be involved in their lives anymore. She uh-huh. was always like, I have to go to this... meeting, I have to go meet up with this person, I have to go do this. And then after a while, he started noticing that like all of their, like she would be making payments to these people.
Yeah.
Like large payments to these people.
Yeah.
And so what we found out was that so how they get you in there is they kind of butter you up with all of these promises and they don't take any money from you, but they offer you a way to make money.
Yeah.
And by the time that you get like 3 or 4 years in, I don't even think they wait that long, maybe like a year or two. But after you've gotten like a year in, they start asking you for money.
Yes.
And saying like, okay, well now it's your time to return your favor to the community because yeah, like you know, you're a person.
God's blessed you right, for so long. Right. Now it's time for you to bless
everyone else. Members. So yeah. then you start paying like these large payments that they are expecting you to pay every month because mm-hmm. they've helped you with your success and your wealth.
Yeah.
And so when we read that, we were like, holy crap. Like we were just,
we were approached by cults, like cult recruiters.
It was so, it was kind of unbelievable, to be honest, like that it was so easy, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't expecting it to happen like that. Like,
just, oh yeah. Like we
I've
were
never really been like approached in that
I'm
way.
I'm not going to say we were going to do it, but we were definitely,
we weren't turned off like for the first,
it
like,
sounded good at
right,
first.
Right. We weren't turned off at first. We were kind of like, well, you never know. Like maybe it could be like a good financial yeah. investment. Maybe they have some actual like great thing that they're offering. And then we were kind of like
let's hear them out.
Yeah, after the three red flags, I said, okay, we probably should rethink this situation.
I don't remember if you even had, didn't you just blocked on my thing?
Yeah, what I did was I actually messaged her and said, hey, I caught on to like what you guys do and who you are and this, you know, mentor that you guys are
this
talking
is a cult.
About, like, this is not some kind of, like, cool, like, retirement plan or, like, some cool, like, financial opportunity. Like, you all are trying to, like, get us to join some weird group and, like, scam us. And, like, please don't contact me again. So.
Something
I
else.
I sent that message. Oh, go ahead. Oh, it's okay. I sent that message and blocked her pretty much. Like, just, you know, was like, don't contact me again.
Yeah, something else I saw in the, like, the Reddit, like, feeds, the threads that I was reading about these groups, mm-hmm. is they run off of, like, almost solely off of pyramid schemes. So they start all of these, like, pyramid yeah. schemes, like, selling skin creams and makeups and, so like, diet pills. And,
it's in every category. They yes. sell literally every single thing that you could think of that somebody would be into.
And that's
they
what,
have a category for it.
That's what funds their little society, their right. little church.
Yeah, because and, there's something for everyone to scam with.
And their spiel whenever, like, say you're not becoming financially independent,
like,
or retiring early,
sales month.
They basically tell their followers or their members,
right,
like, well, you're just not putting in enough work for God, so he's not blessing you with, you know, retiring
with
early and financial freedom, like, yes. And yeah, that's what they do. Like, they rope
they
you into
it,
it.
They're your religious,
yeah,
religious beliefs,
yeah,
which is really, like, fucked up. And a lot of these people are probably like, oh, God doesn't love me enough.
Yeah, because you had the conversation with them, and then you came in and you were like, that was really weird. Mm-hmm. And like, then I, like, you started talking about stuff and the stuff that they were saying. And I remember the stuff they were saying in the meeting before, and I was like, this is culty as fuck.
Yep.
Like, this, like,
we were like,
I,
we need to sit down and look this stuff up.
I recognize these behaviors. This is exactly what I used to do when I was a Jehovah's Witness.
Right? So it's for all of you all, pretty much, long story short, all of that to say, make sure that you look out for the signs. You know, if these people that you are talking to are, you know, trying to get you to come to meetings and, like schedule things, even if you're just meeting them for the first time, or it's supposed to be a very casual thing, okay, red flag. If they're asking you about your financial situation and asking you, like, about your family, trying to figure out, like, well, I mean, like, do you have anyone around you? Like, are you alone? Like, trying to figure out, like, kind of, like,
yes.
what leverage you may have. That's red flag number two.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they perked up when they found out that we had moved here from Oklahoma.
Right. We had no
family. And didn't have any
family
here.
Nothing, like, really tying us to anyone here. We were like, oh, you know, we don't really have, like, a system or anything.
Which,
we just,
initially, I just took it as, like, oh, they're from out of town, too. They're probably just, like, looking for
people
to be friends with.
Right.
But
that's
looking
the red
back,
flag.
They were scoping it out because we don't have family. We're
not going to have anyone else that's going to be, like, looking to hang
out. Nobody to keep
us
track
or,
of us. Yes.
Right. Nobody that's going to be looking for us on, like, you know, Saturday
and
nights.
And that is red flag number four of a cult, is trying to seclude you from whatever family you have.
Right. Just constantly having you, like, meet up with them or hang out with them or come to these meetings or...
By having all of the answers.
Right. So, like, just be aware of that. Like, just be aware that, you know, These people are looking to find whatever weaknesses that you may have.
Yes.
And if you are looking, you know, if you're constantly putting out there that you might be looking for, you know, companionship, or that you're a very lonely person, or that you don't have friends, or you don't have family, or you don't have that blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there that are looking to target people like
and
you.
And victimize you.
Exactly.
Spiritually,
so
financially,
those
emotionally.
Those kinds of things that you put out there. But in general, like, we weren't even looking for this, and it still found us. So just be cautious that,
for sure.
You know, there are predators looking everywhere, no matter whether, you know, you're being open about it or not. Like, they're looking for their ways to get in with you.
Uncle Charlie's still out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, this entire episode has been a really intriguing one, for sure.
It has been.
There's been so much information in this, and
cults,
you know,
are fascinating.
It's still a questionable mindset as to, you know, how these things happen, and, you know, how do we become victims.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that that's something that we need to just keep in mind, that, you know, as a race of people, we do want to belong, and sometimes belonging can be dangerous.
Absolutely. Like, just be really self-aware, be aware, and like I said, the red flags. They're going to promise to have all the answers. They're going to have repeating phrases. They've got mysterious elders / mentors.
They may even, like,
and
bribe you, you know,
yes.
give you money or give you gifts or,
yes.
you know, start showing up and making you feel, like, you know, cared for. And
yeah, and they're going to try and seclude you from your friends and your loved ones.
So on that note, we hope that you all have enjoyed this Freaky
Friday.
Yeah,
it's been a fun one to research.
I definitely want to hear you all's opinions on, you know, Charles Manson, the Manson family, like what you all think about it. We'll definitely be putting up, you know, some kind of like a question or poll or something just to kind of hear you all's feedback on it.
But totally. And if there's any cults you'd like us to talk about in the future for a Freaky Friday episode, throw that in there. Because, like, especially like obscure ones that not a lot of people know about would be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely want, you know, more of your suggestions.
Totally.
To let us, you know, elaborate on, to give us some material to work with. So
yeah.
If you all are interested, please find us on Heathen in the Hedge on Instagram and Facebook. It would be Heathen and the Hedge Podcast. Make sure that you all, you know, look that up. We also tag our Linktree as well. So our Linktree will have everything that you need on it as you search for us.
Yeah, and check out our Patreon, because we're gonna eventually have a little more on there. But like,
yes, we're slowly building up the Patreon, but we would love you all to please join and please, you know, support. We would love to try to add more material. We would love to try to be more on time and more like consistent with our
totally.
podcast, but it is really hard to do,
and better equipment and stuff like that. Yeah,
jobs and,
yeah,
like,
totally
regular things to worry about, so like getting some support would be lovely. And we all know that everybody likes to be paid for their time, whether it's just a hobby or not. So we would
Absolutely.
Love to have that from you, but also we do like having you here as just a listener.
Yeah,
well,
don't think we're here for money, because it's
not
that at all. We want to give you guys as good of an experience as we can. We want to get better equipment, better mics, like
better setup for sure.
Yeah, we want to like,
and,
yeah.
That only happens when you have like the financial support, but we really just appreciate you all being here.
We really do, truly.
And your listen is more than enough. If you can give us, you know, your couple of 30 minutes to an hour or two a week just to listen to our content, you know, that means the world to us. So we appreciate that more than anything.
Absolutely.
No pressure to give us anything other than your listening ear.
Yeah, we just want your ears, honestly.
Absolutely. So thank you all so much for joining us on this episode of Heathen and the Hedge. I'm Shay.
My name is Merlin.
And we will catch you all on the next one. Blessed be y'all.
I love you guys.
Peace.